A very warm welcome to everyone this evening. Thanks again for making us so welcome. And we trust that we'll really have God's help and sense His presence tonight as we have this short gospel message. Turn the microphone on. Yes, I think it's on. Good. There we are. Thank you. Now, let's read together in the book of Luke, please. The book of Luke and chapter number 17. Chapter number 17 and verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse number 11. And our scripture reading commences there, and it says this: "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. And may God bless his word to us this evening. Now, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach the gospel from this lovely, familiar passage in Luke chapter 17. What a story it is of 10 lepers, 10 diseased, defiled, distant men who were healed by the lovely Saviour that day. What a glorious story. Maybe we tell it to the boys and girls in Sunday school. Maybe it's a story that we tell to the believers. But tonight I want to apply it in a very simple way in the gospel, that we might see the very beauty of our Saviour, that we might see that He can cleanse defiled lives, that He can save the sinner and give them the benefits of life, the very life of Christ inside of them. And tonight I want to look at this in just a few ways. When I was studying this passage, I was just overcome with it all. What an exciting passage. And there were so many different ways I could have broken this down, but I want to make it really simple tonight for myself, and maybe for you too. I want to just speak about 3 little things tonight. I want to speak about, first of all, about the Lord. The Lord. I want to speak about the lepers. The lepers. And then finally, I want to speak about, and maybe it sounds a little bit rude to call them this, but I want to speak about a loner, the loner in the end of our passage tonight. And I've been praying at home for souls that they would get saved. And I earnestly expect that God would move in our midst today and save dear souls, because this passage tells us not just about a man in Israel 2,000 years ago, but tells us about a man who's relevant for Scotland today, the Saviour of this world. And I'm excited, and I want to tell you a little bit about not the journey to doom, but the journey to life. And that life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's be very simple. We'll start today as we think, first of all, about the Lord. I guess if we would be normally speaking about this passage, maybe we would start our little study speaking about the lepers. But really, we have to be fair to the passage. The passage doesn't begin with 10 men that were lepers, but it begins with the Saviour who's going around this world. I think it's later on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, he says in the Scriptures that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you and I went to Israel today, we would go with our passports, and we would get our passport stamped, and they would say, you're entitled to be in the land of Israel for a month, or 2 months, whatever the restriction would be. We would be tourists. But the Saviour was not in Israel as a tourist. He was not there to be get a passport stamped so that he could see the sights of Israel. He came into this world to be the Saviour of this world. And the places the blessed Lord Jesus Christ trod were the most blessed places on earth, because they saw the Saviour and they could make a decision about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just think about this amazing person who walked this scene of time. I think first of all about his name. He called himself the Son of Man. What a humble name he called himself. He had no big star on his chest to show how important he was. He did not wear those lapels which mark out what grade he was or what rank he was. Not at all. Our lovely Saviour took the most humble and the lowest of all places on this earth. He only called himself the Son of Man. Despite the fact that he was the Son of God out of heaven, he took upon himself the most humble of places. I thought a little bit more about it. And the prophets, he said about this man who walked these places, but he said about him prophetically, I am a worm and no man. I don't imagine if I went around with my clipboard and did a survey of our audience tonight and asked which one of you would like to be called a worm. I don't imagine anyone would give a positive response to that. But the prophet said about him, I am a worm and no man. The Son of God becoming a worm and no man. Isn't that amazing that he ever came to this world? But there's more. The Bible says that he left the place of no tears and came to the place of tears. And he himself was not immune to tears. Says the scriptures, the smallest verse in the whole of the Bible, Jesus wept. And so he wept tears upon this earth, that men and women like us no longer have to cry in brokenness and hopelessness, but that we might get to know him and have life eternal through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's just get a little bit further into this passage, because let's go to verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I don't know whether the page is screaming to you tonight, but the first word really that's mentioned there is that place called Jerusalem. And it's saying that the Savior is going up to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. And you say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, dear soul, the significance of that is going to Jerusalem to die. You don't need to be much of a Bible scholar to take your Bible at chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel, to turn over two pages to chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel, and there is our Savior now. He's in Jerusalem. Turn over a few more pages to chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel, and there is our Savior now. He's at Calvary. He's at the cross. He's outside the city of Jerusalem, and he's dying for the sin of the world. And the scriptures say that he was going up to Jerusalem. Praise God he ever went to Jerusalem. Luke's Gospel is full of it. He's going up to Jerusalem. And he's going up to Jerusalem for the very purpose that he might die for the sin of this world. Not a tourist. Not one who just wants to see the sights. But the Savior of this world going up to Jerusalem that he might die for sinners. I often speak about Luke chapter 19, and there's Zacchaeus up a tree. Well, if Zacchaeus had been a little bit like me, he would have said, well, I'll wait for another day for the Savior to come back. He could have been a procrastinator. He could have put off meeting the Savior till another day. But there would never be another day when the Savior went to that place called Jericho, where Zacchaeus was up that tree. Never again. Never another visit to that place. He could have been too late. And so in our passage tonight, our Savior's on a journey. He's in a hurry. He's going to Jerusalem to be the Savior. And tonight I say to you today that the Savior wants to be your Savior if you allow him to come into your life, that you might know the one who went to Jerusalem to be the Savior of this world. The Lord Jesus did not come for economic reform. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come for social reform. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to this world to train people to be better people. He came to this world to be the Savior, and he's going to Jerusalem in this passage that he might die for our sins. But I thought it was more in this passage too than just Jerusalem. I noticed there that there was two other places mentioned, Samaria and Galilee. Well, I want to think about Galilee first of all. Matthew's Gospel explains what the Galilee is in chapter 4. It says it's called Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, I'm privileged tonight because I'm in a Gentile audience. And that means the passage is about you tonight. Every one of you, the passage is about you. And the Lord Jesus had been in Galilee of the Gentiles, the land of the non-Jews. And the Savior, the one who was a Jew by birth, the one who was a Jew by upbringing, a Jew by education, you would say, a Jew by appearance, went to the land of the non-Jews that he might be able to save a few of these dear perishing people. I want to tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't look upon our race. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't look upon our intellect. The Lord Jesus doesn't look upon our skin color or our upbringing or your wealth or your background. He looks at you and as an individual soul, and he's come to this world to be the Savior of this world. I want to say praise God for that. That he came to be the Savior of sinners. And he's in Galilee of the Gentiles, the very place where he had been brought up. You know what they said about that place? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of the place where Jesus was brought up? And the fact of the matter is, the best of things, the best of people, the best who ever walked this earth came out of that place called Nazareth, the place of the curse. And there was the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. But there was more. He went to Samaria. Now, for a non-Jew to, for a Jew to go to Galilee would have been difficult. But that is just the place where the Savior had been brought up, the land of the non-Jews. But to go to Samaria would have been a bridge too far for many a person. For many a Jewish person, because it says in John chapter 4, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Oh, the two religions had separated thousands of years earlier. They had gone their separate ways. The Judaism religion had continued in its purity as God had commanded. Oh, they had neglected God, but the religion, in one sense, had continued. The Samaritans, they went their own way. They had their own mountain. They had their own worship. They had, as it were, a mixture of Judaism and heathenism and all the religions round about, and they had mixed it all. And the Jews hated the Samaritans. They had no dealings with them. What does John tell us in chapter 4? Where was the Savior? I must needs go through Samaria. And he's sitting on a well in Samaria to speak to a woman who was caught in sin, who was absolutely embracing sin. And he sat in a well that he might speak to that dear soul about her salvation. Praise God, he loves the non-Jews. He loves the Samaritans. He loves the Jews. Says the Bible, for God so loved the world. Can you understand it, dear soul? The Savior came from heaven, not as a tourist, but as the Savior of this world to save sinners. And he's standing here in this world that he might save sinners. And that could be you tonight. And dear soul, lost in your sin, come to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and have your sins forgiven. I'm excited, friend. He's a wonderful Savior. He should be your Savior tonight if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who ever went to Samaria, who went to Galilee, who went to Jerusalem. I find it interesting, too, that when we come to this passage, you know what he does? He comes to the undesirable. He comes to the unregenerate. He comes to those who are heading towards unmitigated disaster. And he comes to save them. You know, friend, there's nothing worthy about ourselves. The only ones that ever get saved are the unrighteous. The righteous can't get saved because he didn't come for them, says the scripture. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And our lovely Savior came for undesirable, unregenerate, unmitigated disasters that he might save them. I was so encouraged when my father-in-law was speaking about this recently. And he says, the common people received him gladly. It wasn't the big ones. It wasn't the prominent ones. It was the common man who received the Savior. And friend, us normal Scottish folks can be blessed tonight by receiving the Savior. May you ever receive our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's move on a little bit more and talk to you about these lepers. The first thing that we can notice tonight in our study is that there were 10 of them. What an ask. What an ask for 10 people to ask to be healed. Now, I could imagine that maybe one could come to the Savior. Often ones or twos came to the Savior, but for 10 people to ask to be healed of an incurable disease before the Savior in the open street in a certain village that's not even named, that was quite a request. And yet they came. I think of 10 men that had enough knowledge about the Lord to come and ask him for help in their lives. But before we go there, I want to just think about this number 10 for a moment. The Bible is not a book of unconnected stories or unconnected tales. It is a book that everything is connected wonderfully. And just for a few minutes, I don't want to digress too much. I just want to speak about the number 10 for just a second or two. Please bear with me. I thought about 10. And there was 10 ladies, 10 young ladies. And they were waiting to go to a wedding feast. The Bible describes them as 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. 5 went into that wedding feast. 5 missed the altar. 5 met the bridegroom. 5 missed them. 5 had oil, 5 had not. And 5 got a blessing. And 5 had no blessing in their life. Now it's significant, dear souls. It tells me a little bit about this world. That there are millions who hear about the Saviour. They're not all get saved. And it's possible, just possible, that you come to the gospel hall, and you're heading to hell, and you're heading for disaster, and you're heading for God's judgment, when you could be saved and you could enter into the very love of God. 5 were saved and 5 were lost. What a number it was, that number 10. But there was another 10. And the Lord comes and talks the story about them. He says there were 10 men. And there was £10, and they got £1 each. And everyone was to do something, and to make that £1 grow. And some, you know what they did? They got that £1, and they wrapped it in a handkerchief, and they buried it in the ground. And they made no effort with the treasure that they were given, and the treasure that they were received. And I tell you this, friend, it was disaster for those that made no effort with that £1 that they received from their master. And what does the Bible tell us? There are those who receive so much of the goodness of God, they hear of grace of God and the mercy of God, and they take God's word and they bury it and they have nothing to do with it and they miss it forever. Friend, I hope you're not like that. I hope you don't miss the very goodness of God. But then the final 10 in Scripture is 10 kings. 10 ladies, 10 men, 10 kings. And what are those 10 kings, perhaps the saddest of them all? Those 10 kings, they set their face directly against the Lord. They say they want to slay the Lamb of God. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 17, these 10 kings, they set their face against God. 5 ladies missed it. The 10 men, I don't know how many missed it, but we know that one had his money in a handkerchief. And with regard to these 10 kings, every one of them missed the very Lamb of God. God. Friends, I hope you don't miss the blessed Saviour, the Saviour of sinners. Well, let's go to these lepers now. We've laboured it a little bit. Let's move on a little bit faster and see these lepers. Well, they were distant. They were far off. They were diseased. They had leprosy. They were even despised because the Bible tells us in Leviticus 13 that they had to cry, unclean, unclean. There's a lip covered outside the city. Unclean, unclean. It must have been the most awful of experiences. I know that we don't do that nowadays. But it wasn't so long ago when Princess Diana, she went to the AIDS hospital and she touched a person with AIDS and the world was shocked that a princess would stoop so low to touch a person with AIDS. Well, here's the Saviour from heaven with 10 disease defiled men standing before him. Praise God, he's got time for them. You know, these men were diseased, they were despised, they were defiled. But I'll tell you this, there was nothing wrong with their intellect. Nothing wrong with it at all. They had enough intellectual gumption to make the effort to go and meet the Saviour. And yet our world sadly cares so little about the Lord Jesus. I was in the Bible bookshop yesterday. There was a Bible in English in about 10 or 12 different translations. There was a Bible in Glaswegian, if you even speak Glaswegian. I think if you rake hard enough, you'd have the Bible in Gaelic. And if you rake hard enough, you might have in a Scots mother tongue. And there it was in our own language. And yet it's sitting on the shelves. It's sitting on the shelf. There wasn't a soul in the bookshop. Not a soul to buy a Bible to search out the Lord. And these dear lepers had enough gumption to make the effort to come and meet the Saviour. And I say to you today the same point, friend. Use your intellect that God has given you to seek him out, to seek the Saviour of sinners, and to read about him in his precious word. And there they sought the Saviour. I noticed too, not only was there nothing wrong with her intellect, there was nothing wrong with her voices. I don't know anything about leprosy. I know it gets your flesh and it gets your nerve endings, but perhaps it doesn't get your voice. And these dear lepers, with a loud voice in unity together, cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." I'm going to come to that in just a second, but notice there was nothing wrong with their voice. But then third of all, there was nothing wrong with their appreciation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Friend, if you're a dear sinner who needs a Saviour, you need to also learn something of an appreciation for who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I often say to the young folks, he's not some sort of mate of ours. He's not some sort of pal that lives next door that we borrow a cup of sugar from. He is the Saviour of this world. He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. He's the one who will have the wrath of God. And dear souls, he's the Saviour that we need to get to know. And these dear 10 leprous men, what a mixture of diseased, defiled men they were. And yet they cried out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." They appreciated him. Jesus, the Saviour, Jehovah saves. They proclaimed that Jehovah saves. God saves in the name of Jesus. They said, "Master." They did not equate him with just a pal. They equated him as being Lord over all, blessed forever, the Master. And then they said, "Have mercy upon us." The preacher in Perth today, he opened the scriptures, and from the Gospel of Luke, he explained to us today a little bit about the mercy of God. And isn't it wonderful that that one who is gracious, kind, and yet majestic has mercy upon a sinner that a sinner could ever be saved by him. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. I wonder, dear friend, if you've ever yet considered that he is the only way that a man or a woman could be saved. We can't save ourselves. We can't have somebody else to save us. We can't go and buy our salvation. We can't work it by coming to a meeting like this. We can't do it by doing good to our neighbour. We can't do it by reaching the top of politics or business. None of these things have any impact in the sight of God. The Bible says, John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way. And so for a dear soul to be saved, it's not an effort of self. It's not in wealth or money or crying out. It's by repentance and faith in the only Saviour of sinners. The book of Acts summarises it beautifully as well. Neither is there salvation in any other. Go to the minister of religions and ask for salvation. They can't help you. They cannot save you. They cannot make you right with God, no matter how many priests you see, how much penance you do. Neither is there salvation in any other. The only means of salvation is by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Saviour. This country needs a Saviour. He saves sinners. He can be your Saviour this very day. I think it's wonderful too that when we think about the words of the Lord Jesus to these lepers, you know what he said to them in verse number 14? "Go show yourselves unto the priests." He didn't touch them. He didn't call to them and say that you're healed. The Lord Jesus Christ did not, as it were, put a magic potion on them that the world would do. He did not say to them, "Medicine." He did not say, "Go to the pharmacist, the herbalist." He did not say, "Go to the local doctor." He says, "Go to the priest." You say, "Well, what is going on here?" Well, it's Leviticus chapter 14. You say, "I've never read Leviticus chapter 14. Well, there's your homework for tonight. Go home and read Leviticus chapter 14, because in that passage, he explained all that this was all about. Now, let me just say that if you had leprosy, and if all of a sudden you got healed of your leprosy, to make sure that you were totally healed, you had to go and show yourself to the priest, and he would declare you, after a period of time, clear of your leprosy. But there's a lot more to it than that. But in this passage, there's a lovely little passage in Leviticus 14 that says about two birds. The person who finds himself clear of the leprosy brings with him two birds. And with these two birds, he takes one of the birds and he kills it under running water. And the blood is kept, and the other living bird is dipped in the blood of the bird that had been killed. And that blood had been applied, and then that little bird was set free. And then somehow it was a declaration of the person being set free from the bondage of their leprosy. But let me take that picture of two little birds a little further and say that there was one who gave his blood that we could be set free. Like that bird covered by the blood, that it might reign and they could stay and set free, and they could soar to higher heights. Well, that bird was only set free because of the blood. Let me take you to the Epistle of John. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us from all sin. I think I spoke of that last time I was here. And it's still true, friend. His blood cleanses us. And sinners in this world do not need to turn over another leaf. They need the blood. They need the blood of Christ applied to them. And the lepers were told that day to go to show themselves to the priest that they might learn that lesson about the blood. And the blood, we wouldn't need to wait too many more chapters, just five or so chapters, to see the very blood of Christ. And from his riven side poured out for sinners, from his pierced hands poured out for sinners, from his brow poured out for sinners, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. And so that blood was set free, covered in the blood. What about you, dear friend? Will you be set free from your sin? Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, and receive him, and repent, and believe in him? Go show yourself unto the priest. Now, we thought about the Lord. I could talk a lot more about him. We thought about the lepers, and well, they had so much faith. Isn't that wonderful that they came with faith to the right person? I want to think about this man, and rather disrespectfully, I'm going to call him the loner. Because he was a loner. It wasn't by choice, but the circumstances led him to be a loner that day. Ten men all with the same common disease, leprosy. Ten men all with the same common man they met, the Saviour. Ten with the same common cure. They met the Lord and he healed them. Ten with the same instruction. They went to show themselves to the priest, but only one turned back to give thanks. And this is where Scotland is tonight. A land that's heard about the Saviour for hundreds of years, the land of the John Knox and the land of the Reformation, the land which flows with the blood of martyrs in St. Andrews and in Perth and in other places. The blood of the martyrs in our land, and yet the people in this land don't want to say these simple words to thank the Lord for all that he has done. Isn't it the most difficult word that a person can ever say? To thank him for what he has done. Only a repentant sinner can ever say these words, to give thanks to God for all that he has ever done. Because by doing that, dear soul, you're acknowledging your need of the Saviour as your own Saviour. So this loner came. And there's quite a lot I could speak about him, but I just want to speak very briefly about five things about this loner. The first thing is, he realised he was healed. Now, that is important. Rather simple point, isn't it? He realised he was healed. He realised something had actually changed in his life. I don't imagine that there were many mirrors in Israel in those days. The Bible talks about glasses and looking glasses, but there wouldn't have been very many mirrors because they were a very expensive thing to make in those days. But he realised he was healed. Without even looking in a mirror, something had changed. The words of Christ were effective and true and honest, and he was healed. And dear soul, you need to acknowledge that you can be healed not from your diseases but by your sin in Christ. And this man realized it, and he turned, and he was wonderfully healed. But notice, second of all, not only did he realize it, but he turned back Well, I want to just bring the biblical word of repentance. I say today, if a person is to be saved, you need to repent. You need an about turn from your sin and an about turn to the Saviour. Oh, it's missed nowadays. People talk about a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. Now, friend, that's not what it's about. It's about repentance and brokenness, and it's about knowing your unworthiness in the sight of God. And this man, he turned back. The other nine continued on their journey. Where were they heading for? I have no idea. But this man made the effort to turn back. The others were interested in their bodies. The other nine, they were interested in his bodies. But this ninth, this tenth man, he was interested in Christ. And dear soul, I trust and pray that that will be your interest tonight. Not your body, because they'll perish. Let me assure you of that. But your soul and the Saviour. But first of all, I noticed this. He had a loud voice. And in this loud voice, he was different than the loud voice that was said earlier. You know what he had? He had a loud voice. And with his loud voice, he glorified God. He worshipped God. He realised the source of all the power of the Saviour was in God, and that Christ was God and God's Son. And with a loud voice he glorified God. Well, we used to sing it. I don't know if you still sing it here. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. I saw that his dear friend, if a dear soul comes to the Lord and repents and receives him, immediately they'll show that they love him and they worship him and they fall down low before him. And this man fell down before him. You know, the Bible tells us about wise men. And what did they do? They fell down and worshipped him. Trace it for yourself. Find out all the people that fall down before the Saviour. And there's not a sinner who ever stood eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder to him, with their pride and said, I'm worthy. No, they all fell down and they worshipped him. Praise God for sinners at the tent and got right down low before him. But then, fourthly, this man, we see it again in the passage, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And so this man, in his leprosy, cured, in his separation, cured, in his appreciation of Christ, rewarded, and now he's falling down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's wonderful that he's found at Jesus' feet, down at Jesus' feet. And again, I say very simply, I hope you just understand it's a very simple message tonight, that dear sinners, get saved at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't come in your pride. Come in your brokenness. Come in your repentance. Come in your faith. Come in your hope to him and fall down at his feet. And he offers salvation full and free to all tonight that will fall down at the feet of the Saviour. I find it wonderful. He's been at a distance. He was afar off, the Bible told us. And now he's actually at the feet of Christ. And he could only do that because he was now a cleansed leper. And he was at the feet of Christ. And cleansed sinners are found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. One more thing, please. Just bear with me another minute or two more. The fifth thing I noticed about this man is he gave thanks to the Lord. I said it was the most difficult thing of all to do. But the little chorus was a beautiful chorus that we sing with the boys and girls. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. And that's where he is. He's at that point at the feet of Christ, thanking him for so great salvation, and he can do the same to you today. If you fall down at the feet of Christ and repent and receive him and be covered by that blood, and so he can save you today. Now, there's so much more I could tell you about this man. I just want to pass on one last final point. You might say, well, it was easy in Bible days. No, it wasn't. He was a Samaritan. He was told by the Lord to go show himself before the priest. 10 were told that instruction. The Samaritan had no right to stand before the priest. What was that man going to do? Confused by the command of Christ, even though it seemed impossible for him to go and stand before a Jewish priest, what did the man do? when circumstances looked impossible, when the way looked hard, when it seemed that he couldn't do it, he just obeyed the voice of Christ and went and did it. And he just obeyed what Christ had said, and he made him Lord and Master of his life, and he was healed and helped and saved. And the Lord Jesus declared not to the nine, but to this man, "Go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole." To another one day, he says, "Thy faith has saved thee." And so it is today, that we do not set in sight, we set in faith, believing his word. We cannot see the Savior, we cannot touch him, but we set in faith to believe in him. And tonight my prayer and plea with you is to set in faith tonight and receive him and be wonderfully saved. He's interested in the leper, he's interested in Samaritans, he's interested in Gentiles, he's interested in us tonight. May you be gloriously saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask God's parting blessing tonight. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for this time that we've heard thy word and enjoyed thy presence. Father, save souls, we pray. We thank thee, our God, that thou art able. Thy word, despite our weakness, comes with power from thee, and we long that thou would save dear souls today. We think of lepers, 10 of them, unclean, despised, defiled, distant. And yet, our God, we thank thee, the Saviour made all the difference in our passage tonight. Father, save our dear soul, we pray. Father, that there might be sinners who can receive the Saviour this very night and are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee now for this time. Bless us, we part, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's have a parting hymn, please. And the hymn is, "What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Number 99. "What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Let's do the first and the second verse only of number 99.